prepare our hearts to receive the word of God. Let's turn our Bibles. Let's give the preeminence to the word of God in the midst of us. Let's start with this beautiful, beautiful promise, book of Isaiah, chapter 48. Book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 8. Chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our Lord, our God, we thank you, Lord. Our Creator, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Our Deliverer, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Our Savior, we thank you, Lord. Our Maker, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Our Redeemer, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Our everything, we thank you, Lord. Our life, our purpose, the very reason of our existence, Lord, we thank you. Amen. We bless your holy name, O Lord, not by our lips, but we truly desire to bless your holy name by our life. And Lord, may you teach all of us today to do your will, not just to believe in your word blindly, but Lord, to do your word in your will, to seek your presence in your will, to follow you in your will, to fulfill your commandments in your will. To let you, O Lord, our potter, our molder, maker, our judge, our prince of peace, the righteous God Almighty, to have your way in our life. Amen. To fulfill the purpose, O Lord, that you have spoken about every one of us. That personal revelation, that personal experience of what is the will of God in my life. What is the purpose of God in my life? What my groom wants me to do as the bride? And what my Creator wants me to listen, wants me to perceive, wants me to observe, wants me to understand what the Creator is expecting from the creation I am. And Lord, we stand before Thee as the parts of the Word, the children of God, the seeds of God Almighty, the promises of God, the miracles of God, the testimonies of God, the servants of God, the kings and saints that you have inherited to your divine kingdom, O Lord. And Lord, we ask your divine presence to soak every one of us today, O Lord. And to bless us to listen to your still small voice, and to have the desire to examine ourselves, to examine our hearts, to examine our mind, our thoughts, our intents, our actions that we have done in the past, that we do today, that we may do tomorrow. And Lord, we pray, may you bless every one of us today, that we receive the divine burden of, am I living in the will of the Lord? Am I speaking in the will of the Father in heaven? Am I doing in the will of the Father in heaven? Am I serving in the will of the Father in heaven? Am I fellowshipping in the will of the Father in heaven? And Lord, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only name that is given for salvation, the only name that is revealed to all of us for redemption, and that precious name, the powerful name of all, and there is no other name greater than your name, O Lord. In that name, you still told all of us, the Lord hath magnified his word above thy name. And Lord, may you speak to us today through your word, by your word, in your word, for your word, for whom we are all created. And Lord, may you bless all of us to understand the will of the Father in heaven, in the Word of God for every one of us. For we cannot follow people blindly. We cannot follow the system blindly. We cannot follow the church and fall into the pit blindly, because you have called us to be the bride, not to die as a church. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. We thank the Lord for every single day in our lives, as long as we breathe. And even if the journey ends, we would still thank the Lord for the eternal life with Him that we will sing and dance forever. I want to thank the Lord for all the blessed sharings by our dear brothers in the past 2 months. Truly a blessing, encouragement, edification for all of us. And I want to thank the Lord for also blessing me to be here all these 8 weeks to fellowship with the family of God, and most importantly to fellowship with God, to listen to His will, to seek His will, and to spend time in quietness. There is a time of refreshing that comes after you spend the time of blessedness, the time of quietness with your Creator. And I truly needed that, and I thank the Lord for soaking me in that blessed rest, in that divine peace. And I want to thank the Lord for the family of God that we all have today. Amen. You do not know how many people are longing for a family of God. You do not know how many people are longing for a true fellowship. Not the fellowship of the system, not the fellowship of the church, not the fellowship of the social gathering, that is vanity. But the Lord has put a burden in my heart that the true fellowship has lost its essence, its purpose in the ministry of the Lord. Forget about the church. Nowadays, I don't even want to speak the word church. It has become so corrupted because there are so many churches. Church is made by men, made for men, run by men, running for men. And most importantly, for power, pride, authority, to have control, and most importantly, to make money. The Lord has never called us to be the church. Amen. But He told Peter, I will build the church upon this rock. By God's grace, we meditated on a topic called the seed and the seal. One of the sermons in the series of Prison Gate. I showed you a picture, and I'm sure you all remember that. And we know the transformation of caterpillar to a butterfly. But it was safely kept in a small shell, like a place for growth, like a small bird before the hatching, before it can be released from the eggshell. It is bound to that eggshell for a period of time so that it takes all the nutrients inside the eggshell. And after all the nutrients are completely absorbed by the life inside the shell, when that bird spread its wing, it still can't fly instantly, because although it is a bird, it is still a small creation which needs to eat for the feathers to grow, for the mother to feed, for the father to hunt and to get the prey and the food to feed. Then when that bird has that liberty finally to fly in the sky, if that bird thinks, how can I leave the eggshell? It kept me all these weeks for me to hatch. I should hold my reverence and honor to the eggshell. If that bird wants to carry the eggshell wherever it goes, it is nothing but a golden calf for that bird itself, isn't it? Most of the time, whatever the Lord uses as a vessel to bless us, to protect us, to teach us, to guide us, to safeguard us, to shield us from all harm, that eggshell becomes like a kingdom for people. It becomes the absolute for people over time. Why? Used to be inside the eggshell. But the Lord is not coming for the eggshell. Amen.
He is coming for the living bird, you, me. And when he comes, he wants the bride to be able to take off from the earth to meet him up in the sky. Amen. The Bible says we must meet him up in the sky. Why? He would want us to fly with our wings of faith and to show him, you gave me the faith, because the faith is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. And I am exercising my faith and I am putting everything that I learned into action. And can you see, I am flying. Stephen tells the Lord, Lord, can you see, my spirit is coming to you. And he was standing in the cloud on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And Stephen said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So he's sending. The burden for my time in the Lord's presence all these 2 months is, where is the true fellowship? What happened to the true fellowship? Because the same way the word church was corrupted by the churches, the word fellowship has been corrupted by the word fellowships. This fellowship, that fellowship. This particular routine, that particular routine. This program, that program. What program Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane? My dear disciples, Peter, James, John, I will pray exactly 3 times, 30 minutes each. You can sleep for 30 minutes each. I'll come and wake you up 30 minutes each. Was it a routine? Or was it a flow of life? The leading of the Holy Ghost has been put inside a container by people, and people tell the Lord, do this for me in this ship. Everything that we do in our own thinking has become the will of the Lord. Everything that we want to carry forward, carry out in our own desire, becomes the fellowship of God. And the church of God has been corrupted by the churches of men. Why? Personal desires, personal ambitions can take over the divine perfect will of Father in heaven, not the Father on the earth. So, before we go into the meditation and prayers and the Lord's way of examining our intents, our thoughts, the double-edged sword to pierce our heart, because I am here for pruning, we are all here for pruning. Amen? Because the gardener is standing in the midst of us with his double-edged sword. Whoever is willing, he can cut the branch. Correct? Which branch? The branch that doesn't belong to him. The serpentine nature of mine. The serpentine nature of yours. Why? He is still in the process of molding us. The potter is molding us. The gardener is pruning us. So that we may bear more fruit. We may bear more fruit. And what is it? He himself. Why? He is called the Prince of Peace. He molded us that we bring forth him. He created us. He made us. He reformed us that we will bring forth him again. Why? He is the firstborn of the church. Amen? But what happened to the church? He has a name, the firstborn. Correct? The first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is everything. But I have been meditating. Lord, do we have the fellowship that you showcased, you exposed, you revealed, you manifested in the Garden of Gethsemane today? So what do we need to seek? That was the reason I stepped away from the altar for 2 months. I believe the last time I stood here was 8th of September. I thank the Lord. Because the Lord spoke to my heart, thou art not worthy for what is the season that is coming against thee. Not just me, for the whole bride. The season that is coming against thee, thou art not worthy. So what does it mean? We need preparation. What preparation? I don't know. You don't know. But the one who prepares you, he knows. Whatever the Lord has built, it is going to fall. Remember what we meditate today. The temple of Jerusalem the Lord has told Solomon to build was the very same Lord who said, I will destroy it. Amen. The kings of Judah and Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, the kings of Israel, as the Lord had ordained, also the very same Lord who brought them down and threw them into captivity. The Lord who saved the seed of Noah from the destruction of flood is also the very same Lord who destroyed his very own people in the wilderness. Only the second generation was able to escape from his hand. The Lord who called Aaron, who was enjoying his life in the wilderness, to go and serve him with Moses, is also the very same Lord who struck the two sons of Aaron. The Lord who calls David, who was enjoying the life as shepherd with his sheep, also the very same Lord who killed the child of David. The Lord who created the virtuous woman, Abigail, is also the very same Lord who destroyed her husband, Nabal. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. The Lord maketh, the Lord destroyeth. What remains? What the Bible says? Thou remainest Lord. Heavens and earth may perish, but every word that comes from the mouth of God Almighty will never ever perish, because He identifies Himself with the word. Not with the mountain that He made, not with the creations that He make, but He called all of us, can I identify myself with Thee? That is our calling. Amen? God of heavens and earth is looking down on every one of us and asking us, can I identify myself with you? As Father in heaven, and by the spirit of sonship, we call Him Abba Father. Amen? So before we go into the question of what happened to the true fellowship, let us reflect our very own self. We will never enter into the kingdom of God as a group. Am I correct? None of us will enter into heaven because we are a group. Because the heaven is not a political party. It is a spiritual real of the holiness of great God Almighty who dwelleth in unapproachable light, that no man has seen His face. Amen? The only way we can see Him is the visible presence of God Almighty, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has names, image of God, word of God, glory of the Lord, the complete manifestation of God who is Spirit. Amen? But Book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 12 says, there is a name written on His thigh, no man knows. That is who we are. Why? His greatness cannot be measured. The whole earth could not contain the books that is written about Him. But what happened today? This book has become the life of my God. I can study God. I can credit God. I can presume God. I can speak on behalf of God. I can understand what God is doing. I can do this. I can do that, as if God has become the servant to the creation that He who has made them. Isn't it? Why? 66 books of this Bible has become the container. There is no way God will do beyond this word. The Lord hath magnified His word above His name. There is no way, if it is not in the Bible, it is not in God. Then why the vessel of God wrote this scripture? The whole earth could not contain the books that is written about Him. And what is this Bible? You look at this from Old Testament to New Testament, 66 books of, the Lord is telling us, My grace is sufficient to thee. Whatever is revealed to thee, it is sufficient for you to enter into My presence. But what people want, I want to know more. I want to go beyond 66. I want to know what is the 67th book. Or I want to predict what the Lord will do. Why? The true fellowship has been taken away from the true ministry of the Lord. What is fellowship? Answer within your heart. What is fellowship? Gather, singing songs, fellowship? No. Me preaching, you listening, fellowship? No. What is fellowship? There is a difference between service, sacrifice, and fellowship. But now the lines have been erased. Everything is called fellowship. Why? The world has tuned our mind. If people who believe in the same thing, if they come together, it's called fellowship. No, it is society gathering together. What is fellowship? In the Garden of Eden, there was nothing for the Lord Almighty to hide from His three friends who were sitting in front of Him. He told them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And God speaks to Abraham, Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. Do you see any difference? I don't see any difference. Both are same. The same God Almighty who fellowshiped with Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Solomon, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, every single true prophet of God, vessel of God, who was fellowshipping with them as who he is, that fellowship we also witness in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Lord said to his friends, there is nothing I'm hiding from you. This is what I go through. True fellowship has been taken away by fellowship. The same way the Bible says the true life that is hid in Christ Jesus. Amen? That is the true life, which is the everlasting, eternal, never-ending life. But the world has fooled all the people. This is the life. Study, work hard, make money, buy whatever you want, enjoy your life, eat and drink, be merry, do all the evil of the world, enjoy your life when everything is taken away from you, when you fall sick, when you have no strength in your, you know, in your body, you have no desire, no lust after anything, you have nothing to lose, you are simply a dead body walking to the certificate of death, then you would say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, everything worked together for good, all my evil life. For those who love God, me now, for the purpose he called me, it's just to go to heaven. Why? Everything is enjoyed, there is nothing left. But the Bible says, the Lord is coming to marry a young, beautiful, virtuous, sincere, humble bride who clothes herself in the word of God. Amen? Ask yourself, forget about her age. There are 60, 70, 50, 30, 20, 10 years old people in the midst. But when the Lord comes to marry the bride who is spiritually matured, who is able to distinguish between good and evil, who is able to discern the will of the Father in heaven, and the groom is coming for that bride. And that bride is not old, is not extremely mature to the point whereby she is like a grandmother of the beautiful groom that is coming. Spiritually, he is coming for a young, beautiful bride of Jesus Christ. Spiritually, which is sincere, humble, truthful to the groom. And the Lord says, I am in my children, to the groom and the children of the Father in heaven. That true fellowship has been stolen, taken by the enemy, by the flesh of people, in the name of replacing the will of the Father in heaven with the will of the people on earth. So by God's grace, from today, we start a new sermon series. The title, the Lord gave this to me this morning, the will of my Father in heaven, not the Father, not your Father, not our Father, the will of my Father in heaven, not on earth, not on earth, not grouping him, our Father. Every one of you, the Lord has made you, saved you, and to teach you, guide you how to repent in His truth, how to repent in the Spirit of God, and how to receive His revelation. He has been dealing with you personally. Amen? Because He's a personal Savior. We gather here to celebrate Him as His family. But the salvation is extremely personal. Amen? 5,000 people were baptized when Peter spoke the word, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Those 5,000, they are not the same. Very similar to 5 wise virgins. Why 5? The Lord could have simply set an example. There are 2 virgins, 1 fool, 1 wise. Then you can say, oh, all the bride of Christ is this 1 wise virgin. All the other people who fail to keep the wisdom, they have to go through great tribulation. Pity you. I'll pray for you when I go to heaven. Not 2. The Lord used in the number 10. 5 wise virgins. They're similar to the 5 fingers in my hand. None of it are same, correct? 5 different shapes. 5 different functions, correct? Like the 5 last kings of Judah that we meditated in the last series was the only focus, the 5 last kings of Judah who fell. They did not succeed. And the kingdom also fell. Jeremiah escaped, but everyone caught into the captivity. The last five kings of Judah, the kingdom of the Lord. And we took it to the body of Christ, the five senses of my life, which is sit in the kingdom, which is my head. If you are a king, they will place a crown on your head, not on your feet, not on your shoulder, not on your hand or the feet. On the head that covers your mind. To say the mind is the main plain land where the gardener is focusing on what he sow, he reap. Amen? The mind of Christ, the King of Kings. And those kings, they fell because of the five senses they lost to the world. And because they lost their five senses to the world, and the body, which is the kingdom of Judah, also fell into captivity. Isn't it? I'm standing on a road, waiting to cross a signal. I could see a big lorry. They changed the lane because the driver is drunk or slept. I could see the whole lorry is coming towards me. My whole body is strong, very fit. I know I can run faster than anyone. But my head was not looking at that vehicle that is coming towards me. But rather, I'm just looking somewhere else. Irrespective of how beautiful, how strong the body from neck to the feet, doesn't matter. If the head is not looking in the right direction where the Lord wants you to be warned, where the Lord wants you to pay attention to, if the head is turned, you are dead on the spot, isn't it? And the head is not bigger than my body, it's the smallest part of my body. Five senses, five kings, that is how we finished the sermon series, and I even got some messages from some brethren overseas that, is it going to continue? Because the last part was a very negative climax, correct? The last title of the last part, 15th part, was the fall of Jerusalem, the captivity of Judah. So which means there must be another part to come and make things right, to make a fairy tale ending. But I could not, because the book of Jeremiah ends with captivity. We should hold on to what the Lord has done, which is, the Lord sent his people to captivity for a good reason of 70 years of teaching them. That was the fairy tale ending. That was the last part of the Prison Gate series, which means the gate was not opened. That is how I wanted to end the series. The prison gate was not opened for them. When they witnessed the ministry of Jeremiah, they actually fell into the prison after Jeremiah finished his ministry. They were taken into the captivity. That is the type the Lord is doing in all our lives today. He will take away every single kingdom that you believe in. Remember this. He will destroy every single confidence that you have embraced over him. If you are his bride. He will not do anything that is not profitable to him. Amen. I want my Lord to destroy my kingdom. I want my Lord to destroy my confidence. Whatever that replaced him in my life. You and me, we tell the Lord, Lord, destroy it. Why? I don't want to see anyone but thee. I don't want to trust anyone but thee. I don't want to love anyone but thee and those who are in you. Correct? That is the true fellowship, my dear brethren. So, what we need to understand? We have to start from what is the will of the Father. Not any Father. Your Father. My Father. Our Father. In heaven. Not on earth, not what men say, but not what the people, system, principalities, traditions say, but what he said. Amen? Let's turn our scripture and start from the only one in the whole Bible who can speak about the will of the Father in heaven. Let's learn from him. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. May the Lord guide us, and I believe this is a very important time and season for all of us to meditate on this particular burden, which will give you the fruit of the discernment of the Spirit of God. So before we read the verse, let's remember this. The Lord has called all of us to escape from our five senses, to escape from our five kingdoms, that we don't fall into the captivity of flesh. And the Lord wants all of us to give the head to him, because he is the head of the church. He is the head of the body of Christ. and the mind belongs to Him. Blessed are those whose minds stay on Him. And the Lord speaks to all of us today from the scripture, which is, where is my true fellowship? And in order for us to understand the question, we will ask the first question, where is the will of my Father in heaven in my life? Amen? From today until the series is over, in the name of the Lord, I plead and I ask everyone, it is about you and your Father. It is not about all of us and the Father of all of us. Let's take the inspiration. The judgment of God begins from you. Amen? It begins from the temple of the Holy Ghost. Me and my Father. Gospel of John, chapter 6. Let's listen to what the Word of God speaks about. What is the will of Father? Verse 38. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Verse 38. For I came from heaven. I came down from heaven to do the will of my Father in heaven. Everything is pointing to heaven. But today everything is distracted to earth. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, which is in heaven, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. What is the last day? So until the last day, we all can wander, go astray, do all the evil of the world and come back and cheat Him. And the Lord says, the will of the Father in heaven, I came down to fulfill it, that I will not lose a single seed. I will not lose a single sheep from the mighty hand of the Father in heaven, but He has given everything to me. Me is the Word of God, the image of God, the visible presence of God Almighty. And He says, everything is given to me. Which is, we are all the parts of Him. He is the Creator, we are the creation. He is the groom, we are the bride. And verse 40, and this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Again, last day. Again, last day. You can say, day of the Lord is coming, salvation of the Lord is coming, redemption of the Lord is coming, rapture of the Lord is coming, judgment of the Lord is coming. We can fool ourselves with so many Bible scriptures. That is the most dangerous part of it. But as we speak, today is the last day. If the Lord says, let's go home. If the Lord says, your life was well spent, you can rest in me. No? You can just finish the journey and come. Because our life is a vapor. Amen? Book of James says, our life on earth is like a vapor, which means it was there, in a blink of eye, it was not there. That is how vulnerable, how uncertain, how little what we live on this earth. And the Lord says, forget about it, find me the true life. Because the true life is hid in Christ, which means I have to seek for Him to reveal Himself to me. Because He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, because He Himself hide Himself before He revealed Himself to His children. Now, Jesus Christ made it very clear, I came down. Amen? That should remind you instantly, David was not in the valley of the battle against Philistines. He was up on the mountain. The father, Jesse, is a type of God Almighty. The son, David, is a type of son of David, Jesus Christ. And the father tells the son, go down. Remember, go down and greet, salute your brethren. That's what the father said. So the son comes down, leaves everything that he was possessing, the sheep, he gave everything to the other people. he went down because the father told him to go down. He went down and he ended up facing the battle against Goliath. And he fulfilled what the Lord had purposed in his life, which is to do the will of God, to protect the people of Israel, which is the type and shadow of what we are reading now, should not lose anything. Amen. Not even one sheep will be lost from the hand of the son of David. The King David of earth will make mistakes, but the son of David from heaven will never ever make a single mistake, because he is holy, he is righteous, he is the truth, he is the life, and he is all in all. He came down so that you, me, all of us will not be lost. Why? He promised the Father in heaven, I will not lose a single sheep. I will go and find them. Because we were lost. We rolled down. We fell from grace. And he came down to give us the grace. Amen? Now, Jesus Christ has clearly explained, this is my will. Because he is the Savior. But nowadays, you look very deeply with the discernful eyes. Many people have become the saviors. Even go beyond God's will, to do things beyond God's perfect will, to desire and strive to suffer and do many things that is not at all God's will. Why? The will of the Father in heaven is completely misunderstood by the will and desire and ambition of men on earth. So, we will learn from the only one who has the right to speak about the will of the Father in heaven, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, the only one, the Holy One, the Mighty One, the only Savior, the only one true living God, who can speak about, this is the will of my Father in heaven. Why? He was the only one who fulfilled it. And he was the only one who could speak about it. So let us listen from him first. Then we move into 5 different segments of the scripture. Let's continue. John chapter 7. Next chapter. The word of God is progressive. Amen. Because it is an arrow the archer released from the beginning. And that arrow, it pierced through the wind of grace. It keeps on traveling in the same direction. Unwavering. Not crooked. Not to the right. Not to the left. It will hit the target of redemption. The ministry of reconciliation will be completed with or without your emotions. Yes. Now, chapter 7, verse 16. We will complete receiving the bread of life from the everlasting fountain first, about the will of my Father. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, hallelujah, but his that sent me, blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to stop here for a while. Let us look back at all the churches in the last 2000 years. What they say? My doctrine. Hey, are you copying my doctrine? How dare you? My church, my doctrine. My ministry, my doctrine. Not your doctrine. You copied me. Belongs to me. My patent. Division after division after division. Denomination after denomination after denomination. Why? My church, my ministry, my doctrine. My doctrine. And Jesus says, John 7, verse 17, he says, he continues from verse 16, my doctrine is not mine. Hello? Let's hold on. Take a breath. The one whom you speak about, he says, my doctrine, yeah, is not mine. Oh, I was selling your doctrine outside, telling it is mine. Merchandise entered into the temple of Jerusalem. And what Jesus did? Healed them, showed them mercy, kissed them, hugged them, drove them away. He chased them and drove them away. That is the type and shadow. When he comes as a King of Kings, the second coming, he will come to the very same temple of Jerusalem where he drove them away physically. He will come and drive them away spiritually. One last judgment. He will come. And today he's asking us, where are you fellowshipping? In the merchandise ground? or in my holy inner chamber. Selling opinions, buying opinions. Selling emotions, buying emotions. Selling doctrines, buying doctrines. Selling divisions, buying divisions. Merchants. Merchants using God's name to buy and sell. Spiritually, physically, mentally. Taking advantage of people who are emotionally vulnerable. Who long for love. Who long for comfort, affection. They all receive love. But they became captives. Prisoners of vulnerabilities. Why? Merchants have entered the temple of the Lord. But the Lord allowed them because there are two chambers in the Lord's presence. The heart of God. The inner. The innermost. The holy of holies. Like where Aaron entered physically. And the body of Christ. I can have sickness on my body today as I speak. Doesn't mean it can destroy me. I may die. Doesn't mean I will die. Amen? No one can touch the apple of eye. Because the apple of eye of God Almighty, it is not in flesh. It is spirit. It is divine. It is untouchable and invincible to any flesh on earth. Now, Jesus says very clearly, my doctrine is not mine. But people have changed. My kingdom is mine. My territory. My armies. My power. My reputation. My words. My promise to someone. Hello? You promise to him, not to any man. You have to live your life for the oath that you made to him. The covenant. The ark of the covenant. But people live a life to prove themselves to men. To women, to people. Why? They say, I said something, I will fulfill. Come on. You are going to marry the groom. You want to fulfill is what he is expecting from you. What you promised him is what you fulfill, which is to live a life like him. Do good. Think good. Believe good. Honor God and honor his children. Amen? It is scripture. Now, Jesus says, my doctrine has been corrupted by doctrines of men. And the Lord says, I am not that. Why? That is in the next verse. Verse 17, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You can discern. The one who speaks of himself, the one who justifies of himself, defense of himself. Jesus Christ has never, ever done that. Because he said, if I bear my testimony, it is not true. He said, and he says, my doctrine is not mine. He's always giving all glory, all honor, all power, all authority, all dominion back to the Father. Back to the Father. Always reflecting back to the Father. But now everything becomes self. Keeping, holding very strong. This is the Lord so told us to do this. My brethren, every eggshell, the Lord will break it in the name of Jesus Christ for you to fly. For all of us to fly. He did not want us to be inside. Apostle Paul says, I don't want you to remain as a babe spiritually. I want you to be matured. But for the marriage, nothing else. But in the flesh, be a babe. Be a babe. On two sides. To the flesh, to the world, be a child. Which is, you are innocent, immune. To the spiritual side, understand, discern, and know exactly why you love God and why He loves you and why you are called the bride and why you must be young and beautiful. Amen? Now, Jesus Christ continues by saying in chapter 16, we will complete the Gospel of John first because this beloved vessel received the revelation for a reason. And let us see from his perspective. The four Gospels are four different journalists standing in four different directions capturing the life of Jesus Christ. They all witness the same, like four different cameramen, but they all capture the photo and video from different perspective where the Lord placed them. So that we all learn the Lord from different testimonies, but He is the same. Amen. Gospel of John chapter 16 verse 13. It says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. He told in the previous chapter, I came down from heaven. He said, right? Now he is telling, when the Spirit of Truth, he is to come. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Again he repeats, my doctrine is not mine. My testimony is not mine. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come. He is not going to keep on hold you in the past vain glory. He will always encourage you to look beyond what is about to come. Because we are in the present established truth with the hope of eternal glory. Correct? Which is, to live is Christ. Not to die is gain. That is when the Lord takes you home. You don't decide. For you and me, my brethren, should have the desire, absolute joy to live. Why? He died for you on the cross. If at all I live, it is not for me to enjoy my wealth or health. There is some purpose that you have to fulfill for him. You do not know. Leave it to him. He will fulfill it for you. Why? You are an arrow. You are not the archer. You are a branch. You are not a tree. You are not a gardener. You are a clay. You are not the potter. Just be that wooden vessel floating in the ocean. Let the Holy Ghost, the water current, take you to the shore. If we draw by ourselves, you will end up in Jericho. Be still and know that he is God in your life. But we exercise our faith. That is the only action that we do. But now people have crossed the line of exercising their faith to fulfilling their desires. I want to do this for sure. This is from God. I will die and do it. Ask yourself again. It is the word of God. Amen to that. But is it the will of the Lord? Amen? We have to ask. Lord, the scripture says this. Praise the Lord. But is it the will of the Lord for me today? Is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord can use a verse that is acceptable to you today. It could be a curse for you tomorrow. Why? His mercy is new every morning. Which means you have to wake up every morning with the mindset, God can surprise me. He will do strange acts. He will do new things. He will do things that is beyond my imagination. Then you understand, I open my mouth wide, he filled me in, which is your heart. Expectations must be great, because you serve the God Almighty who is great and beautiful. We cannot put him in the bucket of the 66 books. No and never. These books are given to us to understand how much he loves you. Amen? And from there, you have to start your own quest, own journey of what he wants you to speak to him. What he wants you to listen from him. A personal experience with the groom. To experience his love. But all subject to the will of the Father in heaven. The roof of everything. That is why we start from there. Now, verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you see a difference here? Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine. Amen? Not mine is changing into, he shall receive of mine. Now he says, mine. So now, ask yourself, in what the Lord is identifying himself with him? The Spirit. Because God is Spirit. The Son of God died for the children of God, descended, preached the gospel to the souls in captive, the prisoners, the prison gate that I said, and he ascended into heaven, seated in the right hand of the Father. His name is glorified, Jesus Christ. And why is God glorified? There is one who came down to glorify him. My brethren, the Son of God came down to fulfill the will of the Father in heaven. The Spirit of God came down to glorify the one who fulfilled the will of the Father in heaven, Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only bridge by which we can walk into the promised land. And all the people on earth, they will see. But for you and me, we have already seen. Never ever rest on that complacency. Because today can be the last day. Jesus said, no, not me. He said, last day, the one who was crucified next to Jesus Christ, he was thinking, today is my last day to die as a thief. But the Lord said, today is the last day for you as a sinner who was judged to death. And from today is the first day for you to live with me in paradise. He said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Today. It was the last day for him. It was also the first day for him. You see how beautiful it is? The same day the servants of God die, it's also the same day they live forever. Hallelujah. In death, that is life. If I perish, I perish. Who cares? No one can destroy me. I will live forever in the everlasting presence of God Almighty. And Jesus said, that is the reason I come. I come to bring everyone to where they belong. Put them back where they belong. Now, he says, Holy Ghost came down to glorify me. He will receive of mine. And he clearly justified the purpose of why he has given us. The power of his resurrection was given to the bride. The death of the husband benefits who? The wife. Why? He lives and dies for the wife in the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Our husband man, he identifies himself by calling us, hey, wife of the Lamb. Lord, you are the Lamb. He is the Lion of Judah. Okay? He is the Lion of Judah. That is who he is. Because of us, he came down as a lamb. Let us understand. Because we are the lost sheep. Not just the lost sheep of Israel. He also came for the lost sheep of Gentiles. And because of that, he said, to win a Jew, I'll be a Jew, through Apostle Paul. He said, to win a weak, I'll be a weak, through Apostle Paul. He said, and he did that by coming down as a sacrificial lamb for people like us. But he is the Lion of Judah. We will see him in that glorious appearance. He will come to be seated on the throne of judgment. He will come in the White House. Imagine a lion riding a White House. He will come. But he called all of us wife of the Lamb. Brother, why you are reminding this? Because many people behave like wife of the Lion. The worldly churches, they say, oh devil, where are you? Come and fight with me. Come, I'm ready. Oh, many people are sick, demonic spirits. I will cast out everything. I will move the mountains. I will divide the sea. I will shake the earth. No one can touch us. Untouchable ministry of the Lord. My brethren, the ministry of the Lord will be attacked, persecuted, touched, broken into pieces, but your spirit will be untouched. That is the promise God told Joshua, no man shall stand against thee, but you will go through persecution. But today, the true fellowship has been lost. The miracles of God are taking preeminence in the church of God. The true fellowship of God has been completely forsaken in the name of gifts, fruits, miracles, sermons, mighty anointing, grandeur, nature of baptizing millions of people. Jesus had 12 disciples. He had no church building, period. Amen? He did not own any property. Apostle Paul, same. Apostle Peter, same. All 12 apostles, same. I am from a place where Apostle Thomas was killed. I was baptized in the same place where he was shed the blood. Chennai. I used to sit in those places to pray, and sometimes I think, why this vessel came all the way to this place to be killed? He wanted to sanctify every single land by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He threw his apostles as the lambs to be slain. Who? The ones who received the power of the Holy Ghost, who could do whatever they wanted. They're angry, but the Lord also tested them. They obeyed humbly. Why? The true power the Lord has given them is to have true fellowship with him. The fellowship that they missed in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was given back to them by the fellowship of the Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. True fellowship. Why? To reveal the will of the Father in heaven. That purpose is forgotten. But what is embraced? Have to save many people, man. Busy. Have to save many people. Have to baptize many people. No time. Have to be busy, busy, busy. That is Martha. Do we have the wisdom to play as Martha and Mary at the same time? That is wisdom. Amen? But most of the time, we will be always the Martha who is busy, weary, running here and there, knowing not why, knowing not what. But the Lord says, do you have the wisdom of Mary, who is seated at my feet to anoint my feet? In the name of serving God's people, people are forgetting to fellowship with God. Do you see? It is happening more and more now. Why? The will of the Father in heaven is not just misplaced, is not just replaced, missing, forgotten. But the gifts and calling are without repentance. Why? It is the biggest test the Lord can allow in the ministry of God. Do you see? Imagine the Lord has given different power to different ministries. That power will keep on continuing. Why? He is still redeeming his souls. There are always a sincere, humble, hungry soul that is longing for a salvation to repent. And for the sake of that missing sheep, the Lord will use any finger, any hand, any tool, any vessel, even Nebuchadnezzar, even King David. Anything he will use to save all his children. Because he is the creator. He do not have to answer any man. He can use anyone. But, and the Lord says, there are few that pleases me. There are few that glorifies me. There are few I feel rejoicing in them. I fellowship with them. And most importantly, I counsel with them. The higher ground, where God counsels with you. David came down. Moses came down. Which means they were on a higher ground. Moses was on the top of the mountain with the Father in heaven. David was on the top of the mountain with his earthly father. But both of them came down. David had a battle of Goliath. Moses had a battle of golden calf. And they both came victoriously in their own way. And Jesus is telling all of us, that Goliath, that golden calf, can stand in the midst of the ministry of the Lord. You think ministry of the Lord is so holy that no enemy can enter? Stay awake. The Lord has never said that. He is speaking to all of us, the body of Christ, you and me. If we forsake the will of the Father in heaven, you will fall into a victory, not failure. I repeat, you will be keep on winning, but in flesh. Do you hear me? You will receive everything that you wanted. You will win everything that you wanted to win. But to you, to me, it will be seen as God's mighty testimonies. But to the Lord, He will see you as failing, failing, failing. Why? Every mighty victory in flesh is a mighty downfall in spirit. Flesh is weak. Spirit is willing. Now, Jesus Christ has warned us about this, right? He said the Holy Ghost will come and show. What to show? I mean, what else to show? I have the Bible. I know He is the one true living God. I know the Godhead. What else to show? Book of Revelation, chapter 1. Let us understand the very last book, what it says. Revelation, chapter 1. Gospel of John 2, revelation of Jesus given to John. Chapter 1, verse 1. Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. That which, what these two words represent. If you start a book, can't you greet me, Apostle John? Apostle Paul always greet people, right? Very nice, humble man. Huh? But Apostle John starts writing the book of Revelation. He means no room for his own philia or flesh. He means business, the business of the Father in heaven, who is revealing himself through the Son to him. He starts by saying that which. Answer me, what does these two words represent? The Bible says, in the beginning. When? You don't know. Don't you see the Lord is teasing with us? He's actually mocking us. You don't know. Admit it before you start reading the next. That which, in the beginning, when? You don't know. Aeons of time. Our limitations, our constraints in the flesh. Sometimes we forget because we have the liberty of spirit. But the Lord keep on reminding us, my grace is sufficient to thee. I give you exactly what is good for a salvation. Don't ask for more and don't drop it to be less. Because both will push you into the valley of damnation. He starts by saying that was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. In the beginning, there was Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That. Not Him. Correct? That. He says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. A testimony is beautifully written in one single verse. We handled the word of life. But the potter says, hello, I am the potter. You are a clay. I am handling you. But you are the part of the word. When the word of God handles you, you also handle the word of God. That is agape. When the Lord loves you, you are also loving Him. Amen? Because we are in Him. And verse 2 it says, for the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, the word Jesus is the most used word in the world for both good words and also evil words, by both the few wise virgin and also many foolish virgin, by both the very few true ministers of the Lord and also the many ministries of men. But the will of the Father in heaven has been forgotten by almost all of us. Why? The time is near. We are distracted. Oh, walls of Jericho, 7 times. Let's compass around the city 7 times. But why? What is the purpose? There is the Ark of the Covenant in front of us. Why? Why there are 7 priests blowing the trumpet before the Ark of the Covenant? Why? If these questions are not answered, we do not know the will of the Father in heaven. Because remember, the series will always be labeled, grounded, rooted, pointing to the title, the will of my Father in heaven, not on earth. Now, shew thyself. So the Lord says, I am going to reveal myself to thee. Apostle John says, the Holy Ghost blessed us to reveal the mind of the Lord to the people. Why? He says, verse 3, that which, again he repeats, how many times? That which we have seen and heard and declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, the true fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full, which means it can be half, it can be, you know, quarter of your vessel. Apostle John says, that which, then the last verse, that it may be full. Now, he says that you have fellowship with the Father and His Son. But it is the English translational stupidity that we are all struggling with all these years. Fellowship with the Father in His Son, through His Son, by His Son, not and. You can't separate them. He is who He is. He was who He was. He is to come. The only Savior. I am the Lord, and that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone. Jesus Christ is the glory of God Almighty. Now, Apostle John clearly explained to us the revelation of the Lord is still being showed to His children throughout time. Amen? Because God wants to fellowship for what? To reveal His mind to His children who truly seek Him. That is the definition of true fellowship. Now I ask you, if the Father in heaven is telling us, according to Him, fellowship means His mind is revealed to His brethren. Amen? For Him, that is fellowship. Let there be no doubts about it. To God, fellowship means, Adam, where are you, man? Abraham, is there anything I hide from you? Hey, Peter, James, John, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Is there anything hide from you? The mind of the Lord is revealed in the fellowship of the Lord. Is it existing in the church of God? The answer is big no. Oh brother, you can't say that. I repeat, no. Many are called to have fellowship with the Father in heaven. Few are chosen to have fellowship with Father in heaven. But this verse is flopped. Many are called to know Christ, but few are chosen to marry Christ. To do His will, to do His word, to perform His miracle, to speak gospel unto people, to be busy after busy after busy, to the point whereby we completely forget our own personal growth in His presence. The discernment of God begins from you. The judgment of God begins from you. The pruning of God begins from you. The encouragement of God begins from you. Chastening of God begins from you. Healing of God begins from you, because you are the bride. The Son of God will do the work in you first before He does something through you. He would never ever touch a vessel that is not washed, sanctified thoroughly in His blood, in His spirit, to do something that is glorifying His name. Why? He is holy. In Him there is no darkness. But that doesn't give us the assurance that whatever we do for the Lord, we are sanctified. My brethren, King Saul was told by Prophet Samuel, your kingdom is over. The Lord had found a man who is close to His heart. Amen? But actually, his kingdom was not over on that day. He still remained as a king for all the years until the Lord taught a lesson to David. Obey, obey, obey. Trust me. Look unto me. He was thrown into the woods, hiding for life. And the Lord was testing him, teaching him the same way for Moses. The moment Moses was born, don't you see, the leader of Israel is born? But 80 years, 80 years the Lord was hiding him to show His face to the people of Israel. He was hidden. Why? Not ready. Not prepared. The Lord was preparing, my dear brethren, you and me. Every one of us, the bride of Jesus Christ, was not compared to one wise virgin. The Lord compared us to 5 wise virgins. It is not just a dispensation of grace. The Lord is speaking to all of us. He is dealing with us in different seasons, different ways. None of us can compare, can follow none of us. If you do so, both of you will fall into the ditch. Why? The will of my Father in heaven may be different for me today than you. The will of your Father in heaven may be different for you tomorrow than me. Why? We can't simply, blindly follow one another in philia, thinking that it is agape. That is going to be the fruit the Lord will give us to eat during the series in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Revelation, Apostle John clearly said this. Whatever you have seen, heard, handled by the word, it is to have fellowship with Father in heaven. Let's stop it there. Amen? To have fellowship with Father in heaven, who is really keen to reveal His mind to you. Oh, my daughter Lucy, this is what I have for you. Oh, my daughter Kenchu, this is what I want you to do for me. Me, my, I, him. This personal encounter is overshadowed by group encounters, by ministerial encounters, by following what the groups will do. The Lord will do great things. Nobody is denying that. When Joshua was sent to the battle against Amalekites, Aaron and Hur, they were not sent to the battle. Can you say, my people are going for the battle, I also must go, I have the certificate of a soldier, I have sword and spear and arrow, let me go to the battle, man? No, man, you listen to the Son of Man. And the Son of Man wanted him to pray with Moses. My dear brethren, every single day, if we are not careful, you might be fulfilling your own will than the Father in heaven. You might be following the will of men, even the will of mighty servants of God, than God who sent those mighty servants. Now, John says, fellowship with Father and His Son, amen, right? Look at the next verse. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. I'm reading John 1 verse 5 first. John 1. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. Now go back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation, let's read the verse which is 1:2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now, 2, John says, I am carrying the record of witnessing the life of Jesus Christ. Amen. He clearly said the purpose of his life. And he says, all things that he saw. Not all things that you will see. Do you hear me? John says, I am bearing the record of what I saw, not you will see. Because why? The Lord will deal with you in your time, personally. Now, remember this, and now read 1. Book of Revelation, 1. Chapter 1, 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants, which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it with by his angel unto his servant John. And the apostle John is drawing a small territory of telling us, this is what I have received, this is what was revealed to me. But the Lord will show you things in excellence way when you start walking with him. Now remember this, come back to the 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, we read from 1 to 4. Now we will read 7 again. 7 again. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, which means the Father, is mentioned here without mentioning his name. Correct? His Son, which means the Son of the Father in heaven. His Son cleanseth us all from sin. This is 7, right? Now let's read now 3. So that we bring it to a beautiful understanding. 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Amen? The apostles are inviting the seeds of God, fellowship with us, so that you can taste the love of Christ through the Holy Ghost, who is revealing himself to glorify the one who is seated in the throne, the right hand of the Father in heaven. Now remember, Jesus Christ came down to fulfill the will of the Father. Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, came down to glorify the one who fulfills the will of the Father. But all of this centered in the Garden of Eden, fellowship. Now you read this. And truly, not falsely, not in a flesh, not by tradition, not by routine, not by program, not by man-made churches, nothing. Truly a fellowship with Father in heaven and with his Son Jesus Christ, which is the only way you and me can have fellowship with the Father in heaven is through Jesus Christ. Why, brother, you are keep on talking about fellowship is because, my brethren, people misunderstand salvation means going to heaven. Salvation means defeat the purpose of death. Salvation means escape from sin. Salvation means doing the work of the Lord, believe in the word of the Lord, be a good person, escape from all sin. No, set up an example for people of God around the world. My dear brethren, the Father in heaven wants to fellowship with you, and we all lost it when he threw us out of Garden of Eden and he sent his Son to bring us back to the true fellowship. And that word is forgotten. Redemption has taken big, magnified proclamation. Oh, brethren, rapture, redemption, salvation, eternal life, live forever. For what? For what? To fellowship with the Father in heaven, in the Son of God, by the Son of God, through the Son of God, for the Son of God. Why? That is how He created you. Amen. Now, let's remember this. From here, we start. Matthew chapter 6. May the Lord guide us. We heard from Jesus, and the one Jesus revealed Himself. That is why I used only two. Gospel of John, revelation of Jesus Christ, which was also given to Apostle John, who is called the Beloved. Amen? John the Beloved. Because the bride is the beloved of the groom, and the groom is the beloved of the bride. Agape. Now, Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Now, I'm going to cover from the other angle of the same will of the Father in heaven from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10. Chapter 6 verse 10. The verse that I'm reading, it has been memorized by almost all the Christian population, maybe all of them, I can say that with confidence. Completely memorized. If you wake them from sleep, they can easily utter these words. What is it? Thy kingdom come. Hallelujah. Thy will be done. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In earth, of course, as it is in heaven. Now tell me. Tell me, what is thy kingdom come from heaven? What is thy will be done? As it is in heaven. So now remember this. The will of the Father in heaven is not from earth, because it is called the will of the Father in heaven from heaven. Because Jesus said, I came down from heaven. And He said, the will of my Father is that you don't get lost. I come to save you. Now, my precious dear brethren, the Lord has warned us, earth is my footstool. Amen. Heaven is His throne. Now tell me, if earth is His footstool, what are we accessed to? The feet of the king. Amen. Like how the beautiful woman uncovered the feet of Boaz, and how the beautiful woman Mary washed the feet of Christ. Because you and me, we are standing at the footstool. But the throne is in heaven. Why? Because He is holy. He is righteous. He is light. In Him there is no wickedness. He cannot sit in this wicked world which is filled with madness and filthiness and sin. But He placed the feet that is meant to be dirty because of you and me. Because we ask Him, come and follow me, you know, in the dirty, filthy, you know, mud. He has no choice. He placed the feet on the earth so that He can say, I rule this as well with my feet. What is the feet? Gospel of peace. If the Lord does not hold peace, we all will be burned to ashes. Because He sent water once, that is Old Testament. From now on, He has no business with water. Because He used the water for baptism to wash our sins away. But He has reserved fire to burn everything. Amen? And He said, I am sitting in heaven, my feet is on the earth. And He's telling all of us, wash the feet of one another. For what? It's a type and shadow of us telling the Lord, Lord, keep Your grace and mercy for us. Lord, we are actually making You to be covered by filthiness and sin. Because on Calvary He was covered full. But the Lord ascended, seated in the heavenly throne. But yet, He wanted to intercede for you and me as a high priest. Because of that, He told all of us, earth is my footstool. Why? The advocate is still advocating for you. The counselor is still counseling you. And the high priest is still interceding you. He has put His feet on earth to show the glimpse of His kingdom. And you and me are the glimpse of His kingdom. And you and me are the miracle of His kingdom. Until He comes, the Lord called all of us, proclaim my death on Calvary. But what do people do? I have healing power. You want healing? Take it. Take it. You want fortune telling? Take it. Prophecy. You want any other gifts? Take it, take it, take it. But the Lord says, proclaim my death on Calvary. But people proclaim Red Sea dividing. People proclaim Lazarus coming out of the dead tomb. People proclaim all the great, wonderful, fairy tale ending. But the death on Calvary, which is the will of the Father in heaven, by which He died for you and me, for which He died for you and me, has been forgotten. Why? True fellowship. In order for true fellowship to be forsaken, the will of the Father in heaven must be betrayed first. So these two go in hand together. That is why I could not separate this sermon into two series. And the Lord blessed my heart. One single series. The will of my Father in heaven. You shall speak discernment. You shall speak true fellowship under the roof. You are covered. Amen? Because I can't speak this out of His will. It has to be done inside His will. Now, Jesus is speaking, thy kingdom come, but He is not praying. He is telling us, I'm teaching you how to pray. Correct? That is Matthew 6. He says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now I'm going to show you what happened to this will that was in heaven, as it is in heaven, as it is in earth. That is why heaven is His throne, from where the will came, the mind of God, that is not revealed to men. Earth is His footstool, where He placed the feet. The moment He touched the earth, do you know what does it mean? God tells Abraham, every step you take, you claim the land for my name. Amen? If Abraham had that much power, how much more so? The one who created Abraham. Who is the footstool, my dear brethren? The true ministries of God are the footstool of the King of Kings, on which He placed the feet. The Prince of Peace, the Gospel of Peace. Why? He cannot place His feet on unholiness or filthiness or wickedness because He is holy. He wants people to receive Him, to prepare the way. The forerunners, they prepare the way for what? For Jesus Christ to place the feet. Now, remember this. Now let's continue in Matthew chapter 7. The next chapter, He unfolds it. Matthew 7, it's so beautiful. John 6, 7 and Matthew 6, 7. So both are gospel. Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 20. Let us read this. Verse 20 says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And in that word them, my brethren, you are covered, I am covered, all the ministries are covered, all the faithful servants are covered, all the seven messengers are covered, all the creations of God covered, both the true and false, everyone is covered. And the Lord says, ye shall know them by their fruits. If you see the fruit of Holy Ghost, it is I who send them. If you do not see the fruit of Holy Ghost, it is not I who send them. He simply put all of us in the same line of judgment. The plumb line. And He says, I am no respecter of persons. That is how we start, right? But look at the next verse. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is, people, we cry unto Him. Lord, Lord, we want to enter. But the Lord continues. He says, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Why the Lord has to specifically address my Father, which is in heaven? Because the Lord could see the people around Him, that they were all bound to the will of the Father on earth. Apostle Paul says, people of Israel, they have the zeal without knowledge. What is knowledge? The knowledge of the will of the Father in heaven. It is scripture. It is revealed. Apostle Paul says, people have the zeal to do so many things for the Lord, even to the point of sacrificing their own life to the Lord. My brethren, do not be confident just because all of us are willing to put our life for the Lord now. Not sufficient. Hey, look at this crazy man. I'm telling you, I give my life for the Lord and you don't take it. I don't take it. Look at the world. Terrorists can give their life for what they believe in. Soldiers can give their life to defend the nation. Just because I give my life doesn't mean you do the will of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
To live with Christ. Whatever the world can do, we cannot boast that I also can do. None. People can give their wealth. I have seen many rich people, they throw everything for the social cause of charity. They became people who live on the road. Can I say, I am going to give all my riches to the people? I am also a spiritual person. No. Why? If the worldly people can do it, God will not identify you in that. If the worldly terrorists, no, people who are filled with evil mind, they go and offer their life for what they believe in, it is not sacrificial. Submitting and surrendering to the will of the Lord is beyond your sacrifice, is beyond your understanding, is beyond your knowledge, is beyond what you think that God wants. No. God may say, live for me. You may think, let's go and die. God may say, I want you to be healthy. You may think, I'm going to suffer. My brethren, the will of the Lord, as I speak, I don't know. You don't know. That is the truth of it. The Lord says, my mind is not a toy for you to play and find. If I want to know His mind, I must go and seek Him in His closet, in His presence, kneel down and pray unto Him, Lord, reveal Thyself to me. And the Lord will come as, I am Thy Father in heaven. Until we reach that state, you do not know the mind of God. Why? The mind of God is not knowledge of the book. The mind of God is a very revelation of the purpose of why God made you. Why God loved me first. Why God saved you. How come you could able to repent? How come you receive the truth? That very intent, that very purpose, the very reason why you and me are existing can only be understood when the Lord reveals His mind. And that revelation is the true fellowship of God. Why? What is fellowship? I share my joy, you share your joy. I share my pain, you share your pain. I speak of the Lord, you speak of the Lord. I testify His glory, you testify His glory. I share my burden, you share my burden. We share everything. We don't picky. We don't choose what to share, what not to share. That is not a true fellowship. What is true fellowship? If I hide something from my wife, I am not her husband. If she hides something from me, she is not my wife. Why? If there is no in truth, indeed love, then it defeats the purpose of Jesus Christ tells the group bride, I love you fully. Amen? I love you fully. But yet, in order for the Lord to reveal that revelation, He only took 3, not 12. Ask yourself, what the rest of the 9 disciples would be thinking? Hey, where is Peter, John, James, man? What happened to them? Oh, they are praying with Jesus Christ. How about us? So are we not special to Him? How come they are so important to Him than us? Oh, surprise. James did not get the book of Revelation. Oh, Peter did not get the book of Revelation. It was John who received the book of Revelation. It is not about who willeth. It is not about who runneth. It is all about who sheweth mercy. Oh, surprise. The apostle of Gentiles was not from the 12. It was Apostle Paul who came later after the resurrection. The mind of the Lord cannot be predicted by the mind of people. When we have an understanding, then we would receive more. When the Lord continues to speak in verse 21, He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Again, it is pointing to heaven. But the question is, are we desiring for heavenly experience? To be seated in heavenly places? To be touched by the heavenly hand? To be receiving the heavenly revelation, heavenly fellowship? Because the Father is always telling us, I'm a Father in heaven. We say, right, Heavenly Father. Have we ever prayed, oh, my earthly Father? Then my Father called me. Did He call me? Oh, sorry. Spelling mistake. Typo error. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, because He is heavenly. To separate the holiness from filthiness, like what we are going through. To overcome, to jump and catch that last chariot to reach Him. The redemption. Now, let's continue. Gospel of Mark. Because there are 2 Gospels that we have to see the same. Mark chapter 3. These are all words spoken by the one, the only one who fulfilled the will of the Father in heaven. Chapter 3, verse 34, it says, and he looked around, and he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Now let's stop it here. Why the Bible captured the words, or the vessel who wrote this, like a scribe, Gospel of Mark. People, they were sitting around him, because it's roundabout, correct? Roundabout. So the Lord looked all of them, like a 360 degree look. Then he spoke, behold my mother and my brethren. He is telling all of them who position themselves like a wall around him, roundabout, and the Lord was standing in the center, like the center of focus of all of them. There was no mediator between him and them. He speaks to them plainly, whosoever, whoever it is, shall do the will of God, that is Father in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Hey, what happened to the word father? Because there is no father to him other than the only father who sent him. The word mother is the only way the Lord can identify himself, that I came in flesh for you. Everything else, brothers and sisters, brethren. Now, he said this for a reason. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. Let's read that verse. People sat round about. Jesus was standing at the center. He looked every one of them. Then he told them, whoever do the will of my Father in heaven, you are my brother, you are my sister. Zechariah 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Let's read it. Brother Clement, read it for us. Zechariah 2, verse 5. Remember what I read in Matthew 7:21.
Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst.
I will be their glory in their midst. Now remember Matthew 7:21. Jesus, the glory of God, standing in the midst. People, the children of God, united by the faith, united by what he spoke, for the love that they had for them, for him, they assembled themselves round about, sitting, listening. Because it is very clear they were sitting, not roaming, not wandering, not busy, not running here and there. The Lord made them to rest in his presence. Then he said, whosoever doeth the will of the Father in heaven, you are my brother, you are my sister, you are my mother. If we do not know how to rest in the presence of God, we may never understand what is the divine peace of God, that the Lord can speak to us in still small voice. And Zechariah 2 verse 5 says, the glory of the Lord was standing in the midst, and there was a wall of fire round about. Don't you see, you, every one of you, are sealed unto the day of redemption by what? The Holy Ghost. And what is the Holy Ghost? Who glorifies the one who is seated in the heavenly throne. He was sent to speak the truth to us, to receive of whom belongs to him. Now, keep this in your heart. Luke 22. Gospel of Luke 22. Let's see how this all comes to the very last time the one who spoke about the will speak one last time, but this time he was a bit shaken, because he had to be shaken to make all of us to understand the burden that he was carrying. Chapter 22, I shall read from verse 39. I want us to focus this verse by verse, and I pray the Lord bless all of us why it was written in this manner. We all know the profession of Luke. Verse 39, and he came out and went, and he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Mount of Olives. Never forget the word olive. It was the olive leaf that the dove brought to Noah, to the ark, to tell Noah there is a sign of life. We all can enter the promised land. Olive. Here, Mount of Olives. Verse 40. When he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. The word temptation, we always remember that temptation in flesh, seeing lustful things, speaking perverse things, doing evil deeds, whatever the Lord hates. Those are all the fruits of evil works. But ask yourself, what is the intent of those temptations? Let's continue. Verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. Why stone's cast? The Lord is not far away from you, as if you would never reach out to him. He's always nigh unto you when you seek him. But here, this is very different, and I want us to remember the beautiful story of Goliath was in the presence, stone cast away from where David stood. Do you hear me? But before that, David was running forward. He charged against Goliath. He had the stone, but he did not throw. He ran forward. When he reached the place, the right place that is sufficient for him to throw the stone, stone cast away distance, he threw the stone where the full power, the full force of the stone can be experienced by Goliath. And he died on the spot. That is the Son of David's victory over the enemy who came against Israel. Now, let's come back to the Son of David, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who always called himself as Son of David, because David was the king, who was the man after mine own heart, not Saul. It was David. That is why Jesus never told him, I am from son of Saul. Because Saul is Benjamite, David is Judah. Not just because of that, because they are all from sons of Abraham. But the Lord is called Lion of Judah, because there is one who came from the tribe of Judah, who fulfilled the will of Father in heaven, King David, and the Lord identified himself with that king. So now Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was stone cast distance from the three disciples. John, Peter and James. But if you look at the three of them, who received the revelation of Jesus Christ? John. Then who are those two? In the Mount of Transfiguration, the Lord manifested and showed him the transfiguration of the glorious appearance for a while. Again, the same three were present. Peter, James, John. But it was Peter who spoke, but John did not speak. Remember? He spoke something wrong before, but he was rebuked before about burning down the village of Samaritan along with the disciples. They were all in agreement. But this John, who received the revelation of Christ, he is one of the most silent vessels, you know, among the 12. You would not see him doing so many things, you know, in the gospel or even in the times of Acts. You would see Peter, John went, but it was Peter who prayed for the lame. It was Peter who spoke. John was always silent. He was always a witness. If you see the life of John, the beloved was always a witness. Why? The bride of Christ is the bride of who? The true and faithful witness. In true fellowship, in faithful witnessing. So now, here, Jesus stone cast away, he went and prayed. Now you look at the will of the Father in heaven that we have meditated in all the Gospels so far. He is going to die. You read the word that came out of his mouth. He was withdrawn from them. He isolated himself from them. Maintained a distance, and that distance was stone cast stone distance. Because if he shout, they can hear him. Correct? If he scream, they can hear him. Verse 42, saying, Father. He start by saying, Father, if thou be willing, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. In that single sentence, you know one thing for sure. Jesus said, the hour that the Son of Man cometh, even I myself don't know. Did he say that? Only the Father in heaven. Only the Father in heaven knows when I come. But how I started the sermon? My doctrine is not mine. My testimony is not mine. Now he says, Father, if thou be willing. He's telling the Father in heaven what you had purposed in your mind. The word cannot predict it, cannot go before that, cannot try to have dominion over that. He submitted to the will of the Father in heaven. I repeat, the only thing the Word of God submits to is what? The will of the Father in heaven. The Bible says, wives submit to husbands. Why? The wife of Christ submit to Jesus Christ, the groom, the husband, because the husband submit to the Father in heaven. If I have to submit the will of God, I must submit to the Son of God. If I don't submit to the Son of God, I would never know the will of God. Now you see, Apostle Paul said about Israel, they have the zeal, but not the knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowing Jesus Christ. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Until we know Christ, there is no understanding. But that understanding is not the will of the Father in heaven. Oh, confusing, brother. It's getting confusing. No, the spirit of truth is not spirit of confusion. Understanding is not the will of Father in heaven. Remember this. I understand who is Christ. He is my groom, my master, my creator, one true living God, Godhead. Praise the Lord. Amen. That is understanding. Now, what will you do with this understanding is the mind of God. That is, will be revealed to you in your true fellowship with Him. That is the will of the Father in heaven, which is doing the word of God in the will of God. People are doing the word of God in their own will. Is there a difference? Day and night, life and death, flesh and spirit difference. The Lord has called all of us, do my word in my will. David was not called a man after my own heart because he was doing the word. No, he was doing the will, which is doing the word of God in the will of God. Now, let's continue. He says, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. He put up a request as a word of God, submitting to his will, telling that in the beginning there was word. Amen to that. The word was with God. Amen to that. The word was God. Amen to that. Amen. But we cannot say that God is the word to make ourselves feel more knowledgeable. Because the word was God, right? So God is the word. No, the word was God. What was spoken from the love of the Father in heaven, in the will of the Father in heaven, in what he has purposed to create all of us, he spoke the word of God. And the word of God surrendered to the Father in heaven. Because he is seated in the right hand of the Father. Before that, he knelt down, fell to the ground, surrendered. Blood came out, my brethren. People say the Lord shed blood only on Calvary. Let's continue. He says, nevertheless, that is, suppressing, surrendering, submitting to gain the victory of spirit. And he says, not my will. I thought he came down to do the will of the Father in heaven. That is what he said. But now he says, not my will. This is the death that you and me are looking for. When you and me enter into the promised land, there will be only one will, the will of the Father in heaven. One light, the light of the Lamb, that is the light of the city. One love, the love of the Father in heaven. One spirit, the spirit of the Father in heaven, in which we are all reconciled back. One God, one true living Savior. Amen. One. And the Lord says, not my will, but let thy will be done. This is why denominations were formed. Don't you see? They divided the word of God from God because he said, not my will, your will. So two became one. Then after that, he sent Holy Ghost, then added one more. Then three became one. Why? Easy, right? God made me in soul, spirit, body, will of man. See how smart I am. So I will also make God in soul, spirit, body. Spirit, God, body, Jesus, soul, Holy Ghost. Good. Wow. I am the creator of the creator now. That's why God mocking all of us, you little gods. You behave like gods. Why? We speak on behalf of him. We predict what he will do. We say this is what the Lord's will is. Without even asking him, Moses spent 40 days on the mountain to pray for what? For the Lord to reveal his mind to him. Moses, and the Lord says there will be no humble servant like him. None will arise. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist, did he say anything about John the Baptist? You know what the Lord said? Any man who is born out of a woman, there is no one greater than John the Baptist. What? What kind of word it is? And John the Baptist says, I am not even worthy to take his sandal off. Feet, footstool. My brethren, the will is all that we need for the Spirit to fill us deeply. It is not sufficient to know the doctrines, to understand what the Lord wants you to do, but doing all of this in his will is where God separates who please him and who grieve him. Now, he says, verse 43, he says, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Hey, I came down from heaven. Now you came. They came to serve him. Who is he praying? A man? Any man? Heaven and earth trembled in his presence. He knelt and prayed for you and me. The glory of the Lord. And the Lord says, my fullness shall dwell in him. He did not say shine. He says dwell. He put his all in him. The complete manifestation of God's word. He saw an angel appear unto him from heaven and strengthen him. When I saw the verse, the Lord reminded me, Jesus Christ was weary, seated at the well of Jacob. And the woman came. He said, oh my woman, very weary. Can I get some water to strengthen me? And what she did, water? No, she brought the souls to him. And he was strengthened. The everlasting, never drying fountain. He finds his joy in the salvation, in the redemption of his people. Because on Calvary, the Bible says, he endured the cross, not by revelation, not by knowledge, not by the power. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. That is the reason he surrendered. And what he said? He said, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So do we all agree? The Bible says the sweat was like a blood fell on the ground, the Garden of Gethsemane. 45, and when he rose up from prayer, which is the fellowship of Father in heaven. Correct? Because the Son of God is fellowshipping with the Father in heaven. After the fellowship is over, he rose up. He died on the third day, he arose. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. You and me, the seventh church age today, the fivefold ministries today, all the denominations today, every single thing that we say that we do for God, we do it before because of God. All of these things can fall into the trap. The Lord says, when I came, I found you were sleeping in sorrow. Lord, I'm very busy. Exactly. So busy to the point whereby I can call you. You are sleeping. So what is staying awake for the Lord? To see the will of the Father in heaven. The day I cannot see the will of my Father in heaven, I am sleeping. No matter how active you are. He was sleeping. We are all sleeping. He says, 46, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray. Rise and fellowship with the Father in heaven through me. Rise. Arise, my love. Why? He just arose from prayer. And he said, rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. What is the temptation now? To take your eyes away from the will of the Father in heaven. To take your eyes away from the author of salvation, who is the only one who fulfilled the will of the Father in heaven. Now remember his words. Now I speak this in a different time. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He descended to Sheol. The same way in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt down, shed the blood, prayed, fellowship. From the heaven, angel came and strengthened him. When he died, what the Bible says, by the power of God, he resurrected from death to life. Then he was come to his disciples. He saw them. He met them. He spoke to them. The very first word he said, peace be with you, fear not, it is I. Now, after death, he resurrected, said the same. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he shed the blood. He said, let thy will be done. He accepted. Then he rose up. He came to the disciples. They were sleeping. That is one. After resurrection, two. Now, Holy Ghost has been given. We are also serving him in his grace. If you do not serve him in his will, he will come in the same manner. He will arise from the throne of mercy. He will have to stand up, right? He will have to stand up. But the marriage of the Lamb will have to be done before the judgment of the lion. Amen? Because the marriage comes first. The feast comes first. The bride must be prepared to enter in the realm. And the Lord says, when I come, I knock the door. He that hath an ear to listen to the will of my Father in heaven. He that hath an eye to see the will of my Father in heaven. He that hath a mouth to proclaim my death on Calvary. The mouth to speak about the will of my Father in heaven. You will receive me. Because you will be staying awake. The wise virgin. If we sleep, we could sleep by doing so many things outside the will of God. But the Lord says, do everything inside my will. Now, we will continue with this verse. Let's all stand. First Thessalonians. As we close, we read these verses after resurrection. After the power of Holy Ghost was given to them. Because Holy Ghost will guide us into the truth, will glorify him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. It is not limited to the physical that we are thinking about. The bride of Christ must present herself to the groom that she loves him and loves him alone. Now, go back to chapter 5. Go forward, chapter 5, the same book. Chapter 5, verse 18. I read from 17 so that we bring it to Garden of Gethsemane. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not concerning all, concerning you, because my Father in heaven. Quench not the spirit, sleep not, stay awake in his glory, stay awake in his spirit, so that we all can see the will of the Father in heaven. Despise not the prophesyings of whatever the Lord hath spoken through his vessels. Verse 21, prove all things and hold fast which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. What is this all appearance of evil, my brother, my sister? Let's read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How important it is that we stand in a time of season, that we have to embrace this burden and desire. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may found even as thee, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14, and no marvel, don't be surprised, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I thought in the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus Christ transfigured before his disciples, and the Lord says he got the news from someone. He also trying to do this, but not the true light, transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The will of my Father in heaven. May the Lord bless our meditation, our study, our prayer in this series. It is important. It is extremely important, to the point whereby if we do not have the desire to do and see the will of the Father in heaven, we will lose the power of discernment by the Spirit of God. When you lose the power of discernment, you cannot distinguish good and evil. When you cannot distinguish good and evil, you cannot distinguish the false apostles from the true apostles. You cannot distinguish the angel of light, which is Satan transformed to look like angel of light, from the light of our Father in heaven. May the Lord guide us as we continue in Jesus Christ's name. Let's all pray. Say close. Thank you, Lord, our Master, one true living God, one true light. And Lord, we stand before thy presence. Teach us to seek your will. Teach us to do your will. And teach us to desire that we always inquire you, speak to you, listen from you, to examine ourselves where we stand. Are we submitting, surrendering to the will of God, or are we getting lost by the will of men? And Lord, we pray for the divine anointing of the Holy Ghost to be upon every one of us, to do the word of God, to glorify the Son of God, who is the word of God, who is the image of God, who is the only Savior, our groom. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us to live a life like him. May you bless us, O Lord, to be like him, to conform to him, not to the pattern of the world, not to the pattern of the system, not to the tradition of the church, but to be, O Lord, the bride of Christ, who is liberated in the Spirit, but bound to the Word of God. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. Shalom, God bless you all. Amen.